running a business is a tough and lonely journey. Welcome to the Executives on the Frontlines podcast, where business owners and C-suite executives like you will get real answers to your everyday business problems. I'm your host, Jeff Palacio, and together we will learn from senior leaders who have occupied every top box of a company's org chart for every size organization and who like to roll up their sleeves while checking their egos at the door. Today's expert guest is Elza Malik. She's going to talk about how she helps companies that want to scale. Elza, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Yeah. No, I love your background. You and I are kind of kindred spirits. I love using data and information and emotional-based marketing to help companies scale. So very excited to talk to you. You have a little more interesting background, you know, immigrating from Kosovo, and a lot more international experience than I have, but very excited to talk to you. So what have you been seeing in terms, what are the symptoms of companies that can't scale, and how do you, you know, how do you diagnose them and how do you use psychological based marketing strategies to do that? And you might want to explain to our great listeners, you know, what is psychology based marketing?
Yeah. So I'll start with kind of the last question around what it is. Psychology based marketing, even though marketing does have a lot of psychology in it, inherently, sometimes the information is so diluted that you kind of lose the purpose of it. So psychology-based marketing is really going back down to the research of why people behave. And then once you understand the why, then you know, okay, this is the lever I need to pull on to change that behavior. Because instead of zigging, I'm zagging and the customer wants me to zig. And that's kind of the easiest way to describe it in how we make it applicable in marketing campaigns and strategies.
So what do you see out there in terms of what is this kind of lower to middle market size company? What kind of symptoms do you see where they can't scale? They've hit that ceiling.
I think the two most common things I'm noticing when I go into an organization that really has hit a plateau, one is particularly right now, it's that economic uncertainty that has really hurt them in that process. And for me, that just tells me your buyers have not felt secure enough in your offer to take that chance. So no response or no action is the safer action. And that's a different strategy than the other one, which is your buyer actually has changed behavior in how they make decisions. Maybe they used to make decisions in a different process, but maybe also the decision makers have changed, especially in the last 4 years, where we've seen a massive turnover in decision makers, mostly at a generational level.
Yeah. So, what is your process to work with these C-suite teams and their marketing agencies, or usually not agencies, but the probably an N of one marketing person maybe in their company?
So usually we kind of start at the top around identifying what the source of that ceiling or plateau is. And that process really requires an understanding of their existing data, looking through what opportunities they may or may have not lost. If you're on the consumer side, understanding where surveys are entering and taking all that information and just identifying the sentiment that is currently being experienced in the marketplace. I think everybody thinks potentially that they think really rationally, but the back part of your brain, which really controls your emotions, has a lot of impact on the forefront of your brain, which controls the logic, and you just inherently don't know. So starting with emotions is really where we go. Like, what is the emotional capital that you have, and what is the emotional sentiment of your target audience? From there, I move into how do we change that emotion, and which emotion do we need next? Because the buyer cycle has different emotions at each stage. And if you have customers, let's say that you're trying to move into close, or prospects that you're trying to move into close and you need more MQLs, well, the emotion that we want at MQL is very different than the ones that we want in early stage awareness. And we got to work through that. Also depends on the competitors. If your competitors are all speaking one voice or speaking one type of emotion, then you all sound the same. So it's really hard to differentiate yourself. And I specifically speak to that in when it comes to the time that we're in right now, where there's an economic uncertainty. If everybody's pushing fear, then all you're doing is causing analysis paralysis. Whereas if maybe you're pushing possibilities and more encouragement around what could be, that could be a big differentiator in your voice that maybe make you much more successful.
Yeah, and just for some of the few business owners and CEOs out there, MQL is marketing qualified lead. So just to clarify that, yeah. So what, I mean, I think most business owners, CEOs of companies you can help are get they need a CFO or a fractional CFO, a fractional chief sales officer possibly, or a fractional CIO. But what kind of the what do you see where they're hesitant to hire, a fractional chief marketing officer? What are you seeing there?
I think the biggest fear is that marketing tends to have a longer leg time in producing work. It's not like having a chief sales officer where you've got a quarter to meet. And I always recommend that if you're after short-term goals, please go find a chief sales officer who can make those up. Marketing has a longer leg. So if you're looking through 6+ months of return on investment, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to use a chief marketing officer for the first 6 months. You may just use them for the strategy for a few months and then kind of do touch points around it. So I always recommend that if you're really hitting a ceiling and you want to understand on a grander scale how your buyers are behaving, that's really when you bring in a CMO to give you a comprehensive strategy and work through your existing resources or supplemental resources to execute if you can't afford a CMO for long term. Sometimes that's a really good alternative than having one full time. Or even on a consistent fractional basis, just to get you to the next level, but in increments as opposed to big leaps. So that's probably the biggest component that I've noticed is that hesitation around, I've got a long shelf life, before I can start seeing products in my shelf.
Yeah, as we both know, the average tenure in a larger company of a CMO, a chief marketing officer, is 18 months. So
Yeah.
even at that level, people don't have the patience. But also with the economy as it is, and you talked about the uncertainty, how do you build trust in that environment?
Yeah, so there are about six major levers of trust that you can pull on. And we know a lot of them. We know social proof, we know authority, but the other ones tend to get underutilized in certain industries. I know in tech, a lot of commitment is actually missing, meaning you're consistently producing what your product is saying to do because you're pushing up updates and so on. So showing a level of commitment, even in your sales strategy, making mini commitments, and in your marketing strategy as well, making those small commitments that you can easily deliver, subconsciously just says, oh, I can rely on this organization. And that's how you build part of that. Others are, having a likability or a familiarity, pulling into, and this is where you go have to get really deep into, do you know your audience? And understanding, we know you. You and I are very similar. That's a great way to build a connection and almost like a virtual rapport with your target audience throughout that process. And that comes with knowing where you are in the early stage, and then how can you enable the rest of the sales cycle with any other content that marketing has that can help that along. So in this certain time, you pull through those levers as you need to, and then kind of see which ones are overutilized because maybe the market may be desensitized to that one and play around with them.
Yeah, and what does the role of the emotional marketing part play in this, buying decision and economic uncertainty?
So I use the statistic that everybody says where probably 87% of your buyers have picked their top three potential partners that they're gonna buy from before they even reach out to a salesperson. I would say of those, almost all of them have a preferred person. Because they psychologically have made a decision, whether or not they know they've made a decision or not. And it's because of the emotionally charged messaging that you've used throughout the process, which goes back to the commitment component. If you use your levers of influence throughout the process, you're actually creating a different emotional reaction to each of them, which puts you at the forefront before you even get to a salesperson. And that may mean you have to do a little bit of consumer decision making mapping within your organization all around what content or what engagement do we need to push to get to that level and secure our spot in someone's head to say, okay, I have these three, but I like choice A right now. They're the leading partner that I want to go with. And that goes into consumer decisions as well. We always kind of say, I'm going to add a bunch of these to my cart and then I'm going to compare.
Right.
Same problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, probably the last 10 plus years, the power has gone to the decision maker, whether that's a consumer or a B2B decision maker, because the wealth of information's at everybody's fingertips. So it's, yeah, it's a real interesting point. I mean, everybody has a budget, right? If you're working with the Fortune 500 companies, they have a very large marketing budget, but obviously small and mid-sized companies do not. How do you navigate, and help people that, companies that have a little bit of a budget constraint or a limited budget for marketing efforts?
I always recommend kind of working through what you have. And I break it out into 80% of your effort should be focused on two or three really good plays that you have. You don't want to open too many mediums or channels because then you can't manage them and they actually perform worse. Pick two or three and really do those well, making sure you understand how those channels are supposed to operate. And what's the easiest path? But that comes with understanding which channels do people engage with, your target audience engages with the most. And then try to make sure that they're at different stages of the cycle. If one is more for the interest stage versus the awareness, make sure you've got that baked in. That's where 80% of your effort should go and your budget. The other 20% is kind of discretionary funds for experimentation, because you may find what we call kind of like a aha moment in that experimentation that can massively impact the other two or three, and they could be complementary to your efforts. So when you're talking about budget constraints, do two or three really, really well, so you don't have, you're not sitting on a one-legged stool, but keep a little bit open for that process. And then you can say, all right, if I'm going to do social media really, really well, let's figure out the psychology components that can apply into the social media aspect, and then how do we communicate with that? Versus trying to say, I'm going to open up 15 channels because everybody else is doing it. Do something really, really well and focus on that, and then put the majority of your budget there versus trying to be everybody's everything.
Yeah, I like that because a lot of larger companies would take that approach because they just have the money. But I like that 20% that test and learn strategy and mentality, because you are going to learn, because assumptions you had about the market or the channel or the median, is not going to be always right. What's a good example of a success story for you working with a client?
Yeah, so most recently, I just wrapped up a project with a mid-sized tech company that is really kind of hitting the ceiling. And we found out it was more of a combination of the buyer intelligence level was much higher than they expected. So going through the research, as we talked about, information is everywhere. And the tactics that they ended up using, the buyer was just desensitized to. So nothing was really working because they've seen it for the last 5 years that that company's been in business. So reinvigorating the journey map process went from, having a very small percentage of marketing qualified leads come into the sales cycle, all the way through a smaller than predicted pipeline and quota, meeting their quota. We were able to basically almost triple that in about 6 to 12 months of just the strategy because I did the strategy 12 months ago. And then 6 months ago, I was brought on for a more long-term engagement because they were ready for that period. And that's really the power of being able to tap in to your buyer's emotions throughout the process and understanding where they sit from an intelligence, from a fact base and an emotional level and saying, all right, we see where you are. Here's where we want you to be. How do we journey map that emotion and navigate through what triggers we want you to get there? You know, think of a staircase around. I want your starting point is here. The staircase is up here. Take it baby steps because no one changes their mind in a heartbeat.
That's for sure. I love that. Elza, thanks so much for your expertise today. I love your journey career-wise and what you do for clients. So thank you for being on Executives on the Front Lines today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Executives on the Front Lines. If you are interested in learning more about today's guests, you can schedule a 15-minute call with them by scanning the QR code or using the link in the episode description. Please join me every 2 weeks to learn from another great leader sharing insight that can help you and your business.